Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together to worship you this morning. We come as your people, knit together by you as family, and we are grateful for that. Father, as we do so, we ask that through your word, you would speak to us in such a way that we would deepen our understanding of what you have done to make us your family, and deepen our love for one another, that we might walk together in that relationship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Her name is Renata Zhang. She's originally from the Chinese city of Dalian, which is in northeast China, across the bay from Beijing. She was sent to this country by her parents to attend high school. When she was 16 years old, she came to faith in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Her family back in China was very displeased about that. Shaped by his communist culture, her father asked, "Did anyone force you to choose this ideology? I don't want your whole life to be decided by a decision you made when you were 16. Her mother cried and said, "I feel like you're not my baby anymore. I feel like they're taking you away from me." Renata, this brand new Christian, was feeling cut off from her biological family. For Renata, it has been crucial to come to know the truth of which Jesus spoke in talking to Peter and the other disciples about family. If you recall, Peter had observed how he and the others had left everything, including their families, to follow Jesus. Jesus responded by saying, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Jesus was pointing to the expansive family of fellow believers to which each believer belongs. As members of the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ, we have brothers and sisters beyond number, spread throughout the world and throughout time. Our local church family is the immediate, tangible expression of that universal family of faith to which we belong. As for Renata Zhang, 2 years down the road, with the support of her new Christian family, Renata has been able to maintain relationships with her parents in China. She has been sending carefully chosen Bible verses to her mother via some online messaging app. Her father has been studying the Bible to better understand his child's faith. They have both noticed the positive difference in the life of their daughter. I won't be at all surprised to someday learn that her biological family has also become part of her Christian family. Well, through this fall season, we are exploring different facets of our faith as Christians. Today, we begin to look at the facet that we're calling loving our Lord's family. As Christians, we are part of God's family, which includes other believers across time and across geography. We are called to love each other as family. Based on the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, we start with how loving our Lord's family involves having thankful hearts. Today's lesson is found in the Pew Bibles on page 1029. Following the greeting to begin the letter, Paul goes on to say how he and the others with him had thankful hearts when thinking of the Christians in Thessalonica. He puts it this way in verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for you all." He is from South Tarsus. He actually said, "We give thanks to God always for y'all," making mention of you in our prayers. Paul loved them enough to share this with them. They were important as people, but they were even more important as fellow members in the family of God. Paul and Silvanus, which is just another form of the name Silas. We recognize that better, don't we? Paul and Silas and Timothy prayed for them regularly and did so with genuine gratitude. Which leads me to ask three questions. The first question that comes to my mind is why? What were the Thessalonian Christians like that prompted thankful hearts in Paul and the others? Part of the answer to that question comes in Paul's description of how they prayed for them. We read that they do pray for them, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. What's he saying? Paul, Silas, and Timothy were thankful for their work of faith. Their faith was genuine to the extent that it was showing itself in tangible ways in how they lived. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were thankful for their labor of love. Their love for each other was genuine to the extent of making sacrifices for the benefit of others. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were thankful for their steadfastness of hope. Deeper than mere optimism, their hope in their eternal promises of God endured through various tests and trials. The Thessalonian Christians had become a group of people who were the local expression of God's family, and they were already demonstrating the family traits of faith, hope, and love. Their lives showed the evidence of their being part of the family of God in Christ, beloved and chosen by the Father. That evidence is what prompted Paul, Silas, and Timothy to pray for them with thankful hearts. It's important to understand, it was anything but easy for those early Christians. Whether coming from Jewish or pagan backgrounds, coming to faith in Christ redefined their lives. In part, unless their biological family members also believed, it meant being cut off. The Jews would be thrown out of the synagogues. The pagans would lose their place at various festivals. Both would end up being socially and economically ostracized. That meant their new family of faith was needed for more than support. It was crucial for survival. Paul, Silas, and Timothy loved the Thessalonian Christians enough to want them to know that kind of family. Their hearts were thankful because they saw God doing that work in their lives. Our current cultural context may not be quite so extreme, but there are more and more stories indicating a disturbing trajectory. According to a recent study by the First Liberty Institute, documented attacks on religious freedom in the United States have more than doubled since 2011. One simple example involves the farmer in Charlotte, Michigan. Because of his family's desire to live out their faith, the city of East Lansing refused their usual place at the local farmer's market. While a federal district court has granted the family a temporary injunction for the remainder of 2017, there is still no long-term decision in that case. There's been a growing trend in our country to force Christians to go along with current cultural trends or simply to go away. Hence, a growing need for Christians to live together as family more than ever. The Thessalonian Christians were doing that. The second question that comes to my mind is this. Given what they were like, how did they get there? Well, picking up in verse 5, Paul writes, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." They had heard and seen the witness of Paul when he and his missionary team first shared the gospel with them in the year about 49 or 50 AD. They remembered all of that. We can read about that in Acts chapter 17 if you want to do a little follow-up this afternoon. Having heard the message shared by Paul and his team, the Thessalonians responded by believing and receiving the truth and all its applications for their lives. A response which led to suffering persecution from others, but a response that also involved the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that? John Stott observes, the same Spirit who gave power to those who preached the gospel gave joy to those who received it. Wherever the gospel goes and people respond, there is joy. Joy in heaven among the angels over sinners repenting, as Jesus said, and joy on earth among the people of God. Those Thessalonians had been transformed. When we see other people come to faith in Jesus and then continue to grow as Christians, genuine love leads to genuine gratitude. We have thankful hearts for what God has done and continues to do in their lives. Our love for them recognizes that to be the best thing possible for them. And so when we see it happen, we are thankful. I have some friends I first came to know in Massachusetts. Their names are Ken and Loretta. We haven't seen each other in years, but we still stay in touch and occasionally talk by phone. Well, when I lived up there and was involved in the Young Life ministry, Ken and Loretta's daughter and son-in-law now were in high school at that time, and they had been involved in Young Life, and when I talk to Ken and Loretta today, I hear what's happened since then. And I love to hear how their kids have grown up to be leaders in their own church and involved in the local Young Life committee as grown-ups. Not only that, but how Mark and Ann's kids have also grown up to be involved with various ministries themselves. Fills my heart with joy and gratitude to learn of the faith being passed from one generation to the next. Because I love them, my heart is thankful for what God is doing in their lives and through their lives. Folks, that is what we hear from Paul, Silas, and Timothy and their love for the Christians in Thessalonica. Those Thessalonians had heard and believed and received the good news of Jesus as the Christ. While they had a rough start with the vehement opposition and tribulation, they continued to grow in their faith as the Holy Spirit worked in and through them. Already, the witness of these Thessalonian Christians was having a ripple effect beyond their own city, which leads to my third question. Given what they were like and how they got there, what impact did they have in the world around them? Beginning in verse 8, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. As Paul describing, their witness as Christians was spreading beyond what they even realized. Paul is so excited. Can you hear it in his voice? He isn't running around telling people about the Thessalonians. He's hearing it from others. Their reputation of faithfulness was well known. It started with a dramatic transformation from paganism to Christianity, turning from idols to serve a living and true God, as Paul put it. It continued as an active daily anticipation of Jesus coming again. And the lifestyle of those who have been saved by the living Christ and therefore serve him accordingly. In other words, because the Thessalonian Christians were truly living out their faith in Jesus, their lives were having a positive impact on others near and far. How could Paul not be thankful to God for that? This past week, we received an email in the office that came through our parish website. The person that sent it had a question about the bazaar coming up, wondering if we rent tables to vendors. We get that question at least once or twice every year. Well, I asked Barbara to send an email reply explaining we don't rent tables but have stuff made and donated by our own folks. But of course, the public is welcome and we hope they can come check it out. I started to go back to my office but stopped and turned around and went back to suggest Barbara also explain the connection of this year's proceeds going to Samaritan's Purse for hurricane relief. And so she did. That same day, Barbara heard back from the person with this following message filled with exclamation marks. Thank you so much for getting back to me, exclamation. That is wonderful, exclamation. My family and I will try to stop by, exclamation. We are parishioners at St. Eleanor's in Collegeville, but bought our house from Mr. Bird, who I understand was a very active parishioner at your church, and I've heard nothing but wonderful things, exclamation mark. When we simply live our lives distinctively in faithfulness to the Lord, it can result in an impact beyond what we ever know, reaching to China or Tanzania or maybe to our neighbors down the street. Our brothers and sisters in the faith are encouraged and their hearts filled with gratitude. And when we learn of other Christians doing that, it's cause for us to be thankful because we have come to love one another as family. There is a genuine connection of joy and gratitude, a mutual sharing of thankful hearts for what we have seen God do in each other's lives, with wonderful anticipation of things yet to come. Loving our Lord's family is like that. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Heavenly Father, again, we do give you thanks that you have knit us together as your family, that we are part of the redeemed, your people who live as those reconciled because we once were estranged. But Father, as your people, it's easy for us to get distracted, to look around and think about what other people ought to do or how they ought to live, what they ought to be. Father, forgive us for those kinds of attitudes. Help us to recognize what they have become in Christ, to give thanks to you for the work you have done and continue to do in their lives, to be part of that, cooperating with you, to encourage them in our prayers and in our communication. And Father, in our own lives, may we see the same to be true. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.